Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace. From God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever wondered if you belonged somewhere? Have you ever felt out of place? Our family has moved more times than I care to remember. I hate moving. I'm staying here, you guys. Because one of the things that is the most vibrant memory for me is every time we move, having a sense that I don't belong here. Early on, and I've never felt that way in this church, but, you know, you go to a restaurant that you've never been to before. You don't know any of the wait staff, and you're alone. It's a lonely feeling. Going shopping, not knowing your way around. I have just now started to understand the layout of Menards. It's been 3.5 years, because it's completely different than any other place I've ever been. Why do I bring this up? Because for a lot of people, church is that new place that I don't know if I'll belong. I don't know if I'll fit in. If you are a lifelong churchgoer, raise your hand. Yeah. So we don't really know how the rest of the world looks at us. We don't know what it's like to not be a Christian, to not have a place in the church. Well, this is what Peter was up against in our first reading from Acts. Peter, as most of us know because we've been in church forever, was one of Jesus' closest disciples. You know, Peter, James, and John, the great trio, they got to go up the mountain with Jesus. They got to see Moses and Elijah and Jesus at the Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, they were in that inner circle. Peter, when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Messiah." And he got it right. But Peter was also the one, when Jesus started talking about the need for him to suffer and die, Peter said, "No, Lord, that's not going to happen to you." Because nobody wants your friends to talk about suffering and dying. No one wants to think about their friends going through anything terrible. Certainly not their most beloved teacher. Peter and Jesus were close. Peter didn't want to see anything bad happen to Jesus. Couldn't imagine. And so Peter and Jesus have this banter, and he gets to speak actually quite a bit in the Gospels. And when it comes time for the Last Supper, that night that Jesus was betrayed, Peter has this moment with Jesus when Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And Peter says, "No, Lord, you can't wash my feet." You know how the rest of this goes. Jesus says, "Well, if you don't let me, you can't have a part of me in the kingdom." Peter says, well, then wash my head, my everything. Wash me. Give me a bath. Jesus says, no, the feet's fine. Jesus is saying, you got to let me serve you. You need to understand what servanthood means, because you are going to be a servant leader. And then Jesus taught them, and the book of John records it eloquently, taught them those last, most important things they needed to learn. And he said, you're all going to wander away from me. And again, Peter is the one who says, no, Lord, not me. I'm never going to deny you. And again, you all know the rest of that story. The cock crowed. Peter denied Jesus. In that last conversation Jesus had with the disciples, he made one thing crystal clear. He said, fellas, I'm not going to be with you much longer. But here's something you need to understand. I command you to love. That's strong. I command you to love. And here we are, the fifth Sunday after Easter, hearing the text from Maundy Thursday again. I think the lectionary folks assume that people don't go to church on Maundy Thursday. But here it is again. Command, mandatum, Maundy, mandate. I command you to love one another. Now, that's nothing new in the Bible. Leviticus says you need to love one another. But Jesus goes a step further. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Shoot. Anybody like to define love on our own terms? You know, I'm going to put my box around this, and I will love to a point. But Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. What does that mean? For starters, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jesus didn't just come for those of us who are already sitting in the pews. Jesus came for the world. What does that mean? Here again, Peter. Remember a couple weeks ago when Peter was out fishing? And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Three times. And Peter said, yes, Lord. And Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Well, today in our gospel from Acts, Peter has a vision from God. It's a weird vision. The Gentiles had started accepting the good news. And that doesn't shake any of our worlds. But if you would have said that to the early church members, to dear old Peter, James, and John, that would have just blown their minds. The Gentiles accepted the good news. The Gentiles were the others. If you grew up Jewish, the Gentiles were in a whole nother world of their own. You didn't talk to them. You didn't associate with them. You distrusted them. You didn't do business with them. You just stayed away. We don't even, well, we do have some analogies. I know when I grew up, it was the Catholics. In 1972, my sister married a Catholic boy. And I was only 7 at the time. But man, I remember how earth-changing that was. You can't marry a Catholic boy. Who's going to do the wedding? How are you going to raise the children? Blah, 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 blah. Now, thank God, it's common. Back then, not so much. And they were fellow Christians. Do you see the divisions that we humanly put up about each other? Well, that was times 1,000 when the early church heard that the gospel was for the Gentiles. What are you talking about? So Peter had this vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven being lowered by the four corners. And it came close by, and I looked at it closely. I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But I replied, "By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth." Do you see what just happened here? Peter thought that in order to be a Christian, you had to keep the old law and believe in Jesus. Gentiles are people that ate that kind of stuff. Not me, Lord. But God's vision was different than Peter's. The thing I love most about Peter in the New Testament is that Peter is a common sense kind of guy. And Peter understands tradition very, very well. But Jesus keeps pushing him out of the box. When Peter says, "No, Lord, you're not going to die," Jesus says, "Yeah, this is the way it's going to happen. The cross and resurrection are the only way I can save the world. I'll never deny you, Jesus." And you just did. Okay, Peter is all of us. Peter says, "The traditions of the church." Do you remember how the church used to look at divorced people? How the church used to support slavery? Those were human traditions that we brought the Bible along to support. Peter's vision came from God. The Gentiles were part of the kingdom, part of God's plan for all creation. I remember back when the first Iraq war was in its run-up. It was 1991. And I was young. We didn't have any kids. But I was so upset. And I was just distraught. And I said, this can't be. And I went on a silent retreat. There was a Catholic monastery not too far away from us. And I fasted for 3 days, and I didn't say anything to anyone for those 3 days. It was a silent retreat. And I came back, and we still went to war. But I was glad for that quality time that I spent with God. Now, 20-some years later, my daughter is best friends with a family that are Iraqi refugees. She met one of the sons in her training as a paramedic. They're Roman Catholic. And she's going to move into their basement. I don't know if the two are related. But I'm so glad that she didn't look at this family and say, ooh, you're from the Middle East. I should stay away. That she made friends. But now she's finding refuge with a refugee family. Maybe it's a long way around to answer prayers from 25, 26 years ago. I don't know. But I do know that the gospel challenges us. That God's visions are bigger than ours are. That beautiful opening line from our reading from Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He dwells with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain, they will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is complete. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We are commanded to love, not to argue. And the God of hosts will be with us. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.